Good morning.
Oh, we're live this morning, hot. We are looking for all of you who are sitting out there in the pew hiding your talents, hiding your musical talents, your sound system abilities. We would love to continually add people to the worship band, to train people to learn to use the sound system, to set up, to tear down. So, and this is a thing that's great for even, you know, 10 teenagers, younger people too, to learn the sound system and to learn how to set stuff up, but also musicians, guitar, djembe, vocalist, piano, anything. So please see me afterwards or let Pastor Chris know if you have interest, and we'd love to use your talents that you're currently hiding. Thanks.
The 20s and 30s group is having a game night this Friday, and we wanted to extend the Saturday, at 6 p.m., and college-age students are welcome, even if there are high school students that want to come, you're welcome to come too, and we'll just gather for lots of fun and fellowship with each other.
See Jenny if you have questions, and I think it's at 6, is it 6? 6 o'clock.
Good morning. I hope that many of you have received the survey that has been much talked about in your emails. Yes, thank you, Andrew. That's how I felt when I sent it off. If you did not receive an email with a survey link or you've had trouble opening the link, please see me during coffee hour so that I could get your updated email address or help answer any questions you have regarding the survey. For those of you who have requested a paper survey, I have copies of the paper survey available for you with some specific instructions. So if you can also see me to receive your copy and the instructions of how to complete the paper survey, see me during coffee hour as well. And then I'm going to switch gears a little. I just want to remind people on the nominating committee that we are going to be having a meeting upstairs in the couches room right after service. So that's it.
And if you have suggestions for elders, deacons, auditors, other nominating committee folks, please see Gina or the names that are listed in the bulletin this morning.
So for the past 3 months or so, we've been experimenting with a new way to organize coffee hour, which is just splitting up the duties some, and it's worked very well. I've been doing all the sort of contacting, so if I haven't contacted you, I'm really sorry. Just let me know, and I'll correct that. But I've put up a new sign-up sheet in the Hope Room, so and hopefully people will sign up and fill up that sheet to help out with coffee hour. The duties are setting up, which just means coming a little early, and or you can stay late and clean up, or you can bring like drinks and cream and maybe one food item. And as usual, the biggest way that coffee hour is sort of filled is just with people bringing their own donations without being on a list. So I encourage you to keep bringing stuff. Thank you.
The lectionary psalmist for today writes, "Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for God is with us." Trusting in the everlasting promises of God, let us come to worship in prayer, in praise, and in word as we begin our service in singing together, "Cry of My Heart," led by the worship band.
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing this song, and I officially license you to move and clap and do whatever else you want in response to the song.
Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth.
to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
The psalmist writes, "You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies." We live in a world where evil is real, around us and even in us, in those things we have done and those things we have left undone. In a spirit of confession, let us come humbly before God, praying that we might be led in only God's ways, first in silence, then praying together. Together we pray. God of great giving, we confess that we hoard our gifts. You give us talents of speaking and teaching, and we pretend we can't use them. You give us gifts of working with our hands and minds, and we often use those gifts for our own gain and satisfaction, forgetting the needs of others. You give us wisdom and knowledge, and yet we hide what we know for fear of being laughed at or ignored. Open our hearts, great God, so that we can be part of your love for the world, sharing what we have. Amen. In a spirit of confession, let us sing together our song of confession, Give Thanks. The grace of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, new every morning. Believe this good news of the gospel. God is love. In God we are forgiven and freed. Thanks be to God, now and forever. Amen. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of our community, our wider community, and our world together as we pray together. This morning, I would like to lift up Elena Johnson's father, who had a heart attack this week and emergency surgery. He seems to be recovering well, but prayers for continued healing there.
I have a joy that last weekend I got to worship in nature. I was at a nature writing retreat, and just am very thankful for that opportunity to get away. And would like to ask for prayers for Laura Biggins. She's having some appendix trouble, and hopefully tomorrow she's going in for a CAT scan so that they can figure out whether she needs to have it removed or whether it's just inflamed. So just prayers for Laura and a recovery for her.
Just like to ask for prayers for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing and give thanks for the police and the firefighters, the emergency medical personnel, all the doctors and nurses and everybody, the volunteers of the marathon, everybody who ran toward the scene when other people were running away. And just give thanks that a lot of my friends ran it and Ellen was in the stands. I'm glad they just give thanks that they were safe.
My son, Julian, got laid off from his job this week, so I'd ask prayers for him.
I'd like to continue prayers for Walter. And I also think we should offer prayers for the tragedy in West Texas with the explosion of the factory there.
My husband lost his mom this week, so prayers for Tim.
Let us pray. Creator and ever-creating God, you will life and hope for all your people. Amidst shattered dreams and lives in times of evil and war, in hunger and injustice, shine forth your light, your hope, your love on all places in need of your healing and transforming power in these days, near and far from our minds, that love and hope may triumph in the midst of pain and despair. We pray in thanks for all who are agents of your peace, healing, and hope in this time, pointing to higher paths of your way, giving of self and time with courage in most difficult circumstances. We pray this day particularly for first responders in harm's way all week long in so many places, for veterans who brought expertise into new and strange positions here, for those returning to their homes in Texas yesterday and looking to rebuild shattered lives there. We pray for all those who mourn the loss and injury of loved ones in Boston and West Texas, in Syria, in Afghanistan and Iraq, in the loss of Tim's mother this week. We pray for places in our world in violence. Strengthen your people as all your people face new days and rebuild shattered lives. You call us, O Lord, to pray for our enemies, and that is so difficult in these days, to pray for those who would do us harm and those who have. May our prayers lift in that direction as well. Open us and them to some healing and justice that we can scarcely imagine in these days. We pray, O Lord, this day for those in special need of healing in this time. For Michael, Elena's father, for our neighbor Abby as she awaits a complicated delivery with a baby, for Laura Biggins in testing, for Heather. We give thanks that you remind us that you are ever at work in the world, in the church, and in and through us. We thank you for the joy of spring that we see outside our doors, even in the midst of cooler temperatures, for the joy of being outside and experiencing your creation. We pray, O Lord, for your work in the world to bring justice and equality, nonviolence and hope for millions who live in fear and without the fullness of life that you have created for all your children. We pray that our state legislature and national bodies would be instruments of that kind of peace, justice, and equality. We pray for this church and all churches that we may be witnesses to the radical hope and healing that you brought to earth with your very life, through us and in us and beyond us, as we call upon your strength in leadership and witness in our world, in the relationships closest to us. We pray for those who face special challenges in this day, for the unemployed and underemployed, and particularly Julian as he readies to start anew in this layoff, for Nick Owusu as he awaits an immigration hearing in a couple of weeks. Call us forth to be worthy disciples, O God, of your way, walking with others as we pray and live amidst all of life, living your salvation and promise into a hurting world. We would pray and live in the manner of our Lord, who gave his very life that we would live in the fullness of love, who teaches us to pray every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for a message this morning. In a few minutes, Zach Sharp, one of our elders who just recently went off the session, is going to read the scripture this morning, which is a story about Peter in the book of Acts. A story about Peter going to visit a house, the house of Tabitha or Dorcas, who had actually died in that time, and people around her were very, very sad about that. And they wanted him to come to be with them and to bring healing into the midst of that particular time. And so he did. He came to them, as so many often come to all of us when we need prayers, when we need healing in our lives. Peter came to that group of people, and the first thing he did with them was he prayed. He sat down with them and he prayed. And then something very miraculous happened. She came back to life and was able to be in their midst in a very important way. You think you know this story. It's a familiar one. It's a good one. Good. I'm glad you know that story. Theo knows, you know that story too? Jesus, yes, Jesus is the hope that makes all of that kind of healing happen. Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. You guys are listening. You guys are listening in those church school classes, and that's great. That's great. What I want you to remember from this story that we are going to talk about a little bit more up here too, is that people gathered together and supported one another. They gathered together, they prayed, and healing happened. And when hard things happen in our lives, gathering together helps. To gather together in prayer, to gather together and look for the ways in which people are there and ready to help us, as they were this week, and as they are all around us all the time. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that in the midst of the hardest parts of life, even death itself, that you send people who are angels of help, that you remind us that all around us in hard times there are helpers here, and that we should look for those helpers and reach out to them. Help us to remember that from this story and from the times and events of this week. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You are excused to go down to your classes, and the senior highs are meeting upstairs.
Good morning. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is taken from the book. It's taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 23 to 34. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 358 and large print Bible, page 465. It is projected. 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples and idols. But the Lord made the heavens, honor and majesty that before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord is king. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the sea exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. The New Testament lesson this morning is taken from Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. Verses 36 to 42. It can be found in your pew Bible, page 128, large print 156. It is also projected. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with requests. Please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with them. And when he had arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believe in the law. This is the word of the law.
Please join me in prayer. God, as we take in a deep breath, we take in your Holy Spirit, letting us hear words spoken to us, hearing ways in which we can be with one another. God, open us during this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So the last time that I was at Presbyterian Church here, I was preaching on Dorcas. It's unexpected, or perhaps it's expected, and it would be seen as a random choosing of a person from the Bible that would not only transform my perspective of my work as a chaplain, but broaden my acceptance, my understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, this unexpected development in what our faith is all about. What is unexpected is the expectation and a response of how we find that Holy Spirit working in us. Finding hope, putting trust in God and the risen Christ. The expectation to be asked to come and preach again after 8 months was not expected. And although the opportunity to revisit a same sermon that I read before could have been acceptable, this Easter season highlights other messages found in the story of Dorcas. An overlapping message of hope, this season also underlines the message of trust and the power of the Holy Spirit. The timing of this passage is also unexpected. In the midst of the Easter season about hope and experiencing miracles in a time of chaos and persecution for the early Christians, we too find ourselves in a similar place this week. We remember of what has happened this week, beginning on Monday. We also know and we were affected in many ways. Whether we were there on Monday or if we knew someone that was there, or whether we just watched with a heavy heart, we in some way found connections to this event. And again on Friday with the search in Boston, the explosion in Texas, the remembrance of Oklahoma City, and then yet again on Saturday, remembering Columbine. Many major events happened this week throughout our history. Things that seem as one disaster over another, a disconnect of who we are as God's people and how we are to treat one another. Easier to respond with outrage and with arrogance and with force. And yet, we are to confront these events with hope, with trust in the resurrection of Jesus, and with love and support, compassion, and the difficulty of forgiveness. This may be an unexpected response, but a response rooted in the essence of our faith and of our God, rooted in the teachings of Jesus and his disciples and the followers. And it takes trusting God, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our thoughts, to respond, believing that hope will continue. The lessons from Acts for the past few Sundays continue to witness to the power of the Holy Spirit and the risen Christ. Before our introduction to Dorcas, chapter 9 of Acts shares with us an astonishing and dazzling conversion of Saul, and Ananias' difficult, yet very obedient, faith and trust in God to help Saul, a person who is persecuting and taking followers of Christ. In the successful conversions of both of them, and the promises of the risen Christ, Paul goes, delivers messages of hope throughout different parts of the land. And in Acts, we continue to see places of success, places of growth, places of where peace is beginning to happen. All this leads up to a very brief, yet very important enough passage about a woman of great faith and of good works. Usually a description of a person of faith would not be added here, and neither would her name or his name be added. So here we don't all only get a description of her faith, and we only don't only get just her first name of Tabitha, but we also hear of how the name is translated into Greek, which is Dorcas, intended probably to help us understand the ability for her to straddle both of the worlds that she's living in at that time, being very comfortable in her cultural faith and with the different cultures of the Greco-Roman world. The passage begins with this description of Dorcas and about her good works, and then we're left with something that was unexpected. She becomes ill and dies, and a community is left mourning. Not just mourning, but devastated at the loss of Dorcas. The story of loss and sorrow in the midst of other passages of comfort, of success, of growth, of the church. It's an unexpected reminder that even in the midst of these things, death and sorrow still lingers as a reality in the midst of the early churches and with us today. Confidence and faith in the power of our risen Christ. In the sorrow and mourning, they, presumably friends of Dorcas's, know that Peter was close to Joppa, sent out for him to come, and not clear of their expectation of Peter, or Peter being clear of what he was expected to do once he arrived, perhaps the expectation for Peter was to hear the good works, to hear about how Dorcas was able to give, and Peter could then take that and use for the new church that may be in turmoil. Did they hope for miracles or perhaps hope for a resurrection from death? In the narratives prior to this, there was reasons for this hope. This and other scenes from Luke and Acts purposely echo stories of God's grace. Both Elijah and Elisha pray for God to bring the dead back to life, and Jesus himself breathes back into the dead. And so it may be unexpected, but it's not unparalleled. In the wake of sorrow and grief, Peter is bombarded with tunics, remnants of her acts of mercy and love for this community. Here were aged widows whose hands were too feeble to hold the needle or too poor to pay for others to help with their work. They showed the warm garments that she had made them to protect from the cold winds. The younger widows with little children had clothes that they were showing that Dorcas had been able to make. It could have been a moving scene of all the people and the love that they had for her, that he saw how much she was meant in this community. And as he was in the upper room alone with her, he tells everyone to leave. He goes, holds the hand of Dorcas, and uses her Hebrew name and says, "Tabitha, rise." And immediately her eyes open, and just as the widows paraded her clothing to him as a reminder of her mercy to them, Peter presents Dorcas to them as a sign of God's mercy and love to God's people. The life-giving passage of Dorcas raises many understandings and thoughts about our faith, belief in the power of hope. Not only are we seeing in a passage of hope for Dorcas, the new life literally and spiritually came from God, and hope for the community and new church, that there's hope for healing even in the darkest times. And then for Peter. In Acts, the Spirit constantly pushes the boundaries, forcing Jesus' earliest followers to question and wonder to whom God has sent the good news. A great catalyst of faith and responding to works to give example to others. It was not the good works or the acts of charity that was protection over death for Dorcas. Rather, it was her faith, her trust, and her hope in God. God brings new life in unexpected ways and does it through unexpected people. So not only is this story a story of hope and healing, but it's a story of going beyond the expected. And for the early church in the sharing of the gospel, Peter, Philip, Paul, who are now taking the gospel to other areas culturally, reaching beyond. In one sense, the calling of Peter to come and be with and resurrect Dorcas was a connector to other cultures. As it's been made aware, she straddles those two worlds that Peter is needing to cross and be effective in both. And Dorcas was a risk for Peter, and so catalysting him to do this and sharing and realizing that his ability to go beyond the communities was possible. An unexpected person to bring the expected that God expects. An eye-opener, a person that probably opened himself to the bigger possibilities of God and widened the spectrum of who is called to be followers. Dorcas, tempering him with her good works and her charity and being connected to the community, prepares Peter as he goes and visits with Cornelius, who we'll visit later in chapter 10. And so the more I sit with this passage, the more I hear about judgments and anger, unsettledness in our world, I'm fascinated and encouraged by Dorcas's simple act of giving and knowing that this is what she was able to do to make a difference with those that came in contact with her. And the simple act of giving of herself, regardless of who they were in society, I have strong doubts that she would turn away anyone that needed or asked for her help. Responding with compassion and love in her belief of hope and new life, helping beyond the boundaries. Scripture doesn't have to say a whole lot about someone for us to get a message about her and about what she can do and how we can respond as well. But in the simple acts that she does, she's able to transform Peter, pushing him beyond what is expected. So I wonder how many times that we've encountered Dorcases in our own life, encouraging us to push our boundaries, widen the spectrum of what we believe. Last week I preached on the conversion of Paul and said it then too. Many times miracles and acts of God does not happen in the extraordinary like his conversion. Rather, it happens more when we respond from the heart of our faith, trusting in God, as Ananias did when he helped Saul. Even though the experience of Saul was unkind, he responded in forgiveness. He responded with trust and hope in God. Finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. Just like Ananias, Dorcas was responding in her faith, some that thought was ordinary, but her faith and hope was extraordinary. That's not what I expected. This can become a bright spot of diversity and welcome in this place, this church that we are here on Hope Street. It is a place of welcome for those that feel shut out, a place of giving, and not only of our immediate community, but also to the community at large, something that I miss. And discerning where a church as a community, what our mission is and how we accomplish that mission is a continuous act. There are Dorcases all around us that are catalysts to take risks of hope. The passage may be about the miracle by Peter to raise Dorcas from the dead, but it's also a passage for getting to the root of who we are as followers, laying the foundation to give of ourselves, not to just selected followers, selected people or groups, but understanding that the power of God and the gift of God's message is greater and extends beyond what we can possibly understand. It is about experiencing the unexpected that creates changes, promotes risks. Peter took a risk. Dorcas offered confidence and encouragement, reaching out to those that others may have said no to, or not right now, or I'll get back to you whenever I can. My hope is that we continue to take risks in expressing our faith, even when we're confronted, and with glad hearts continue the work that we've done so well as our foundation and as our mission. I'm encouraged by the Easter season and the stories of the unimaginable and the impossible made imaginable and made possible by faith, with trust, and with hope that is found in our risen Lord. So no matter what happens in life or what I see in the world or in the news, I must hold on to that hope that responds to events just as the ones that we've encountered this week. And even in the midst of our own sorrow, of our grief, of our not understanding of what is happening, that we can keep our trust in God, continue our faith, and know that hope is there. Finding the ways that we need to respond with compassion and with forgiveness. And we can do all this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us all stand for the affirmation of faith. From a brief statement of faith, we trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and a cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmatched authorities in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples from and work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful life, even as we watch God's heaven and new earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus. This is the time in our service where we bring our tithes and offering for the work of God. Father, we tell you thank you for your children who are given tithes and offering this morning. We're asking you to bless the tithes and offering that they have given this morning as it is being used for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us sing together our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, verses 1 through 4, which you will find in the hymnal on page 391, led by the worship band.
To leave this place and begin again this week. Let us take those risks. Let us go find that hope that abounds around us. Let us go knowing that we're loved very much by God, knowing that we've received an abundance amount of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us go and commune not only with each other, but with that Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.
week.
Thank you.